You have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 22. And if you need one, there's probably one in your row there somewhere. Luke 22. And I want to let you know that Lucy's birthday is tomorrow. At the first service, we determined she was 37. Amen? So, 37 and holding, there we go. Amen. How many of you, sometimes outwardly we get older, but inwardly we're still being renewed. Amen. In Luke 22, I'm going to start verse 28 this morning. My title this morning is Sifting, Shaking, and Breaking. This is part two. If you missed part one, I want to encourage you to listen to that. Today I'm going to deal with how the sifting process takes place in our life. Now we know that sifting brings a change. And in Luke 22, starting verse 28, Jesus is talking. He says, They are which have continued in my temptation. And I point to you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed me one, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Peter and the other are now going to receive a kingdom. That means they're going to have a fruitful ministry. How many of us, any time a kingdom is offered, an attack is going to be there. Anytime the Lord brings something into your life, the enemy is going to attack that area. For Peter, he's speaking to him and says, I appoint unto you a kingdom. Can you imagine coming from a fisherman now being part of the kingdom of God? Part of the kingdom now is working in him. And it's amazing that when you get saved, when Jesus Christ becomes Lord of your life, the enemy marks you for attack. For those who don't know him, he's already got them bound. Many times they're living according to the dictates of their flesh. But when you get saved, you have a target on you. It's amazing to me that in Scripture, it's so true. Look at verse 31. And the Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith does not fail. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Notice that he's received the kingdom and now the attack is there. What I love about the Lord is notice that I prayed for you, Peter. Do you know the Lord has prayed for everybody in this room? Even Jesus said, Father, I not only pray for these that are here in front of me, but all those you will give me. So you've been prayed for. When Jesus prays for you, there's something going to happen. The Bible says this, that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So even that intercession as the high priest is still going on in the heavenlies. But notice the attack comes. Notice it says this, when you're converted. Peter, when you get saved, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen the other disciples. Like all of you in this room, when you got saved, how many of us we need to strengthen other people? How many have recognized sometimes the enemy will bring some subtle attacks in your life? Okay, nobody in here. How many knows that's real? The more you step out in faith, the more it seems like those attacks are there. But see, God wants to change us. Satan's desire was to sift Peter and take him out. But Jesus' desire is that you're going to make it, Peter. Notice he doesn't say, hey, Satan's going to attack you and you're done. No, he desires to sift you, but I prayed for you. And when you're strengthened, when you're converted, when you're changed, strengthen these. Like all of you in this room, when the attack comes, it can strengthen you. And you can be a strength to somebody else. The truth is that when you go through something and you get that victory there, it's nice to share that victory. And it's easier to bring that to somebody else because you know exactly what you went through and how to get victory there. How many of us, that's a good comfort. Sometimes it's easy to say, hey, I know what you're going through and you haven't went through anything. But when those words have meaning, when there's character backing that, it makes a difference. Come on. Part of God's work is to sift us, not to bring us harm, but as a parental change in our life. How many knows he's our Father in heaven? Now, how many are parents? Let me see your hand. If your children were going to do something wrong and your discipline changed that, would you want to discipline your kids? Yes or no? How many knows that discipline? And now your forms may be different, how you master that, how you do that. But the truth is when a parent sees their child, you do it for their best good. When it comes to a change in our life, when it comes to that discipline, God wants to work that discipline in us. As your heavenly Father, he wants to change our character from what it is to something greater. And since he's the Lord of the harvest, he knows all hearts. He knows how to bring that change in our life. The process will be simple, but we have to go through it. Come on. In Luke 21, verse 25 and 26, if you take notes, it says this: there'll be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars, distresses of nations, perplexities in the seas, waves warring, men's hearts failing them for fear, looking on the things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. I know for a fact God will bring a shaking to this earth. When you read the book of Revelation, I want you to know that's God bringing this earth back under subjection to Jesus Christ. And if you read the book of Revelation, it's a revelation of Jesus. Don't get so hung up on the Antichrist, all this. Listen to me. Learn it, know it, but it's always a revelation of him. He's just revealing other things. Well, how does this sifting work for us? What does it do? You know what it does? If you're taking notes, it proves our life to see what's inside of us. In Psalm 17, verse 3, you have proved my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing. I have purpose with my mouth that I will not transgress. When God begins to bring that fire, that soap, that cleansing in our lives, it's to purify us, to prove what's in us. Because all of us in sin have failed. Oh, no thunderous amens here. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But God's changed in us so that in that character, in that flesh nature, there are areas that need to change. So the Lord wants us, as our Father in heaven, he wants to take us from that place and change us. Metal does not become pliable unless it's heated. And you can't remove the dross or the impurities until it's warm enough. Then it can be scraped off. It's no different than our character. We need to have that area of our life begin to be sifted, begin to change, because all of us have areas that need a touch. Amen? We don't know how far we've fallen until we start coming back. But then we start to see that, hey, we got to work on this. I know many times after you get saved, you get a lot of big areas done, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. How many here still have some areas that you need to change? Okay, half of you. In Daniel 12, verse 10, it says that many will be purified and made white. They'll be tried. The wicked shall do wickedly, and then they will not understand. But the wise shall understand. Notice the wise will understand they need to be purified and are. That makes you smart. When you get Jesus as your Savior, you become the smartest person. Because you could learn, you could amass the whole earth. You could amass all the wisdom of the world and still lose your own soul. But you know the wisdom of God, and that wisdom of Jesus Christ and him crucified allows you to have access to heaven. That makes you smart. Jesus said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. That's how he looks at wisdom, knowing him. Come on. You can learn about the stars. How about the creator of the stars? The sifting process, you know what it does? It brings a refining process alive in our life. In Zechariah 13, verse 9, I'll bring a third part through the fire as silver is refried or tried. I'll try them as gold is tried. They will hear my name and I will say, you're my people. I will be your God. And notice he'll take you through. I shared this with the first service. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They got thrown in the fiery furnace. What's the only thing that fell off when they were in there? The ropes, true? What was binding them fell off. It's amazing to me that God did not deliver them out of the fire, but through the fire. See, many times, Lord, deliver me from this. How about if I see you through it? See, he could have destroyed everybody right there. The guards that threw him in, they died at the gate because it was so hot. But all of a sudden, when he threw him in there, it says that they seem like there's four in the fire, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. The king of the day looked in there, and Jesus was in the midst of the fire. Now, what if that was you that day? You didn't plan on going in the furnace. They heated it seven times hotter. You got up, and they threw you in. How many think when you were in there and you're walking around with Jesus, that would have been a pretty nice day? You were having air conditioning, even though the flames were all over. And then the king says, hey, come on out of there. And you step out, not even smell of smoke. I mean, that's a pretty awesome miracle. See, God knows how to burn off things in our life that we don't need. What's holding us back, what's binding us there. But many times we're like, Lord, I don't want any of this. Lord, listen to me. Struggles are going to come. I said, struggles are going to come. I can't say you're not going to face some situations. I've met great people have tragedies in their life. And it's not because they've sinned either. It's just some things have happened. But I found that the Lord will even help you through that. If we know how to discipline our kids for good, how much more the Father knows how to change us? See, we get our spirit right, but I've learned this. My character needs to change also. Inside became born again, but you know what? I still had some old thinking that's got to change. I still had some old habits that need to go. See, God begins to work on those things. That sifting process begins to work in us. Isaiah 48 verse 10 says this, "Behold, I have refined you, not with silver. I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." In Job 23 verse 10, "I know your ways that you shall take, and when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold." Notice God wants to bring you through. Now, we all know the story of Job. I mean, Job went through some stuff. How many would like to lose all your home, all your possessions, if all your children pass away? You're scraping, then you break out yourself with a sickness and you got boils and the only thing you got's a broken pot and you're sitting in ashes scraping that. Then you get friends come along say, "Job, you must have sinned. That's why you're in this condition." Then your wife says this, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" How many think that's a pretty bad day? It doesn't say this happened in just a moment, like 1 hour, then everything was good by the end of the day. He had to walk this through. But in all that, it says Job did not sin out of his mouth. I mean, Lord, help me. Amen? And we know the end of the story. Job received twice as much as he had before. And he was so prosperous that he even gave his daughters the same inheritance as the sons. And it says this, that there was no better looking family than Job's. How many of God can restore? How many of he's able to do that? But he had to walk through it. Sometimes you're going to have to walk through it. But it's not to harm you. When Jesus prayed for Simon, he says, "Listen to me, Satan has this desire, but I prayed for you. The only thing it's going to do is promote you." I said, the only thing it's going to do is promote you. When struggles come along, it's an opportunity for God to come in. But he wants to work on our character. As your Father, he knows everything. The best I can know about you is like maybe a piece of sawdust. But the Lord sees the telephone pole. That's why if you judge yourself, you won't be judged of another because nobody knows you like you. Oh, that's good preaching. Then Lord, but how about he knows all about you? He knows what you're like when you're not even here. Oh, come on. In these days, he's doing the sifting. He's doing the sifting in the church. What does the sifting do for us? It checks our foundation. In Luke 6, verse 48, there's a man who built a house. He first digs deep. He lays the foundation on a rock. So when the floods come and the streams beat against it, that house will not fall. Those are the ones who are built upon Christ. We only can build our relationship on Christ. There's no other foundation that's strong. By this sifting process, by God changing us, we can see where we stand. Because not every Christian that calls on the name of the Lord trusts in God. Today you got to really define it. Are you a real Christian? Because we could call ourselves a Christian nation and not even serve them. Are you a real Christian? That means there's an example of Christ in your life. I found out that that sifting process, that heating process, that soap cleansing process begins to show where we stand. Amen. Now we have a shed behind our building here, just store some of our prop junk. It's got the gangster lean. It's got about a 10 or 15 degree lean on it. And I thought when they built it, they didn't put a foundation, but they actually did. But the soil must have been really weak. Now it's got a lean to it. Well, when we bought the building, the doors were almost falling off, so I had to change the doors. And what I did is I had some old siding and I wanted to fix the front. So I leveled the siding, but after I put it up a ways, I'm like, dude, that looks crooked because the building was off. Are you with me? I leveled the siding, but the siding wasn't level with the building. So I had to take it all off and just level it to what's there. I mean, even if we're a little bit crooked, God can straighten us out. Amen. We had a tree like that when I was growing up. I shared with the first service. The wind blew one time and it kind of got it off kilter a little bit. And it was so big we couldn't really redig it. So my dad took these ropes and these binders and he pulled it back. And he kept working it year after year. When they got loose, he'd tighten them up. And what happened is this tree was like this, and then it grew back up straight. It always had a crook in it, but it grew straight again. And every time I'd visit my dad, I'd always look out and I'd remember that tree. How many knows even if we're a little bit crooked, God can still straighten us out? How many knows his goal is to straighten us out? It had a little bow there. Well, you know your own pain. You bear your own scars. Probably all of us in here probably have an area that you'd probably change if you could sometime in your life. But since you can't, you have to go on. As your father, he wants to take you in your character and change that area. He wants to sift you to the place where, you know what? Your foundation can only be Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, no other foundation can a man lay but that which is laid, Christ Jesus. Listen, storms are going to come. Jesus said they would. But you know what? When they come by your door, guess what? If you're built on Christ, your house will stand. I've learned this. I may lose a shutter. I may lose a shingle. My house is not coming down. How many of us, that's a good foundation. Listen to me. Everything else, Jesus said, is sinking sand. Think about it. Whenever I see a football game or a basketball game or you name it, when I see a whole group of people, in my heart sometimes I'm overwhelmed that I don't know them, but every one of them will stand before God and give account of their life. No one escapes. And sometimes it's gripping to me to look at 100,000 people knowing that God knows every one of them by name. I wonder how many are serving him. I hope many are. But all of them will stand before him. Listen to me. Many times I see that when it comes to storms, they hit and it's not opportune. Sometimes you're just like, all of a sudden it happens, or this happens, or this happens. And all of a sudden you're caught in that area and the streams come. Listen to me. It's hard to build the foundation instantly. Yes, God can rescue you. But how many knows we have some time to work on some stuff? So I'm going to make sure my foundation is strong. Each brick is put in the right place. Because when the storms come, it's going to keep going. But I guarantee it, it's going to knock some houses down. If it's built on the sand, it's going to wash away. Now, my heart goes out to those that are on the beach. I like the homes on the beach, but I hate it when a storm comes up, washes all the stuff, and their house falls in. How many of us get a lot invested there? That's a great loss. I hate to say it, that's a great loss. I don't like to see destruction. I don't like to see people's homes burned down or whatever. But I do know, listen to me, God will help us through. When it comes to the church of Jesus Christ, believers, it's going to stand in the last days. It's kind of quiet in here. Jesus said, if you build upon any other foundation, it's hay, wood, and stubble. And we know that that doesn't hold. What does the sifting process do for us? You know what it does? It shows us we pass the test. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, every man's work will be made known. That day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will try every man's work to see what it is. I'm here to tell you, it's called the finals. We're in the finals now. You get one life to live. You don't get two. I'm here to tell you, you're not going to come back as a skunk or a horse or a dog. You get one life to live. It's a slap in God's face to say, I'm going to come back as something else than what you are. You're God's highest creation. And if dying makes me come back as something less than that, would it? Come on! That makes no sense at all. I'm here to tell you. Man, if I believed in reincarnation, then I'm coming back as a Superman. Say amen. I mean, it's ludicrous. It makes no sense at all. We know we get one life in here. And Jesus died once and for all. That means, listen to me, we're in the finals. What we do now matters. Look at us all. We're getting older slowly and suddenly. You can always remember now things in the past. I guarantee you some of your stuff is in some store that's called antiques. And you used to play with it. Amen? The only thing I wish I had back was the original Rock'em Sock'em robots. Because now we have the smaller ones. The old ones are big. You ever find them? Buy it. It's worth a lot of dough. But I had the Rock'em Sock'em robots. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You had the blue guy and you had the red guy. That's all you get. Move them around, you hit them with your thumbs, hit the jaw, and the jaw would go up. It was kind of cool. I thought it was cool. Amen? Push it back down, go again. I lost almost all the time. Even my sister beat me. I couldn't believe it. I just wasn't very good at it, but I tried. Amen? Does anybody remember the game called Kerplunk? You put a bunch of these sticks in there, and you put marbles on it, and you slowly pull the sticks out. Nobody ever remember that? There was a game called Mousetrap that you built a whole bunch of things, and you try to get it all to work. Yeah? I mean, some games were cool. How about the games that you made up yourself? Those are missing today. Our creativity has kind of waned. Amen? I don't know what I did as a kid, but I only came back home when the lights were on. I don't know where I ate sometimes. I'll be honest with you. I was gone all day long. When I got home, I needed a shower. But you know, we made it. It's amazing how life moves on, true? But your foundation, you cannot fabricate in the natural. You can't just say, I'm going to have a brick foundation without Christ. He's what makes us strong. He puts that in us. It's that brick and mortar that we become. We become different people because Jesus is in us. And since this is the only time, it's now. If you live to be 100, 110, 120, listen to me. What is that compared to forever? And when I think about it, who really remembers the last generation? The truth is that your time is now. We're in the finals now. Then, Lord, change me. I don't want to be the same. I want to be changed according to your riches and glory. In James 1, verse 12 says this, blessed is the man who endures temptation, that when he is tried, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I love that. You're going to be in an hour of temptation. You're going to be in a struggle. But when you're tried, you can come forth. I've learned this, that, you know what? You can change. Amen? I get a little simple illustration that, Ron, help me, my brother. In this one area is some dirt. And I made two little sifting things. This is chicken wire. I don't know if you can see it or not. Let me see the chicken wire. This here is a simple screen. That's what this is. When I have sin in my life, it's like if this dirt represents me in my life, I mean, I can take this dirt, shovel it in. Look how much it's holding. When sin is like that, my character does not change. I may get a few big chunks to stop, but you know what? Most of it's slipping through. I mean, is that when we live for the Lord, it matters. Listen to me, I might be able to take this and say, you know what? Yeah, I've changed a little. There's a few chunks in my life. But this is no way to bring change in our lives. It's like, Lord, I want to change. This has to be different. If this is where I'm sifting my life through is sin, guess what? I'm going to miss most of it. And you know what? What I poured out is still the same in the pan. I don't want to stay the same. I want to change. I know what I'm like in the natural. But when I start living for God, it's like it starts to become refined. It's the same process. God takes my life and he begins to put it on there. And see, what he's doing as a father, as a parent, he starts to say, you know what? I want you to change according to my riches and glory. So little by little, it begins to go through. It starts to be refined. You know what I found out? What I don't need stays on top. And I can dump that off. Are you with me? I can take that and say, Lord, I want to change because, God, you're doing something good. Lord, let it change. Let it become more refined. I'm getting the big things down, but now I got to work on the little things. Notice every person has to go through the refining process. We don't know how many chunks we have in our lives. We don't know how many things that need to be dealt with until we get into this process. You know what I've learned? I don't know if you can see this or not, but it's starting to become a little more refined. This becomes good soil on which the seed of the Word of God can be planted. This will produce a harvest. And the chunks that I have left over, listen to me, here's where Satan wants to dwell. He wants to pick on what you had in your life, your failures. But I saw you do this. Here's where you are. Here's where the demonic wants to bring up. Because what's good, he's going to touch because there's nothing there. When he came to Jesus, he could find nothing in him. He had to leave. He was in that process. But I've learned this. The best you can do to this is dump it out. If somebody brings up somebody else's sin to you, the best thing you can do is dump their pan. How many knows when the pan's empty, there's nothing to pick on? How many want this to be disregarded? It's useless. It's the rocks. It's the sin in our life. It's the things that won't produce. Notice your Father in heaven is looking to produce something great in our lives. This is something that's fine. This is something that is good. This is something that will produce. If we're trying to produce good seed from this, we just got a bunch of chunks. This will never do. This is hard packed. This is asphalt. Yet we as believers can have the choice. We can sift our life through sin or through righteousness. Amen? This isn't the last. I don't know how many per inch this is, but there's finer screens than this. How many want to go from this from glory to glory? You got a lot of the big chunks out, but Lord, sift me again. Try me again. How many knows this process will continue all the days of our life? This just doesn't stop here at one shot. Lord, change me again. When you meet Abraham, you're going to find out he was sifted. When you meet Isaac, you're going to find out he was sifted. When you meet David, you find out he was sifted. Each man, each woman of God has went through the process. Well, we also are no different. God starts off with something crude, an earthen vessel. I have this treasure in earthen vessel that nothing good dwells in me but Christ Jesus. That's a true fact. I need to renew this mind. But God, I want to have it so it's pure. Amen? You've been serving the Lord for a while. You probably got some good dirt. Pan's probably looking better, but still needs some work. Amen? How many knows that when you get dirt and you mix water with it, what happens with it? You get mud, don't you? How many knows mud, if you leave it out long enough in the sun, becomes a dirt clod? Even good intentions. I've seen people serve the Lord for years, then go back to their sin. All you've done is muddied up the waters. You've taken something really pure that you've really worked on, and now you've neglected it. You've allowed weeds to come up in it. I mean, it matters what you do. Our life is like that. It's like a garden. I need to keep it fresh. I need to work on it. You didn't plant the weeds, but they're going to grow up. I need to pull them out. Amen? I need some spiritual roundup, as it were. Cleanse those out. But I've learned if I keep working on the process, I'm not the same anymore. And see, when you start to get more pure, now there's a little bit in this pan here. Almost looks like pepper, to be honest with you. When I get to this process, you're starting to become mature enough like, well, I'm glad I'm not like you or like you or like you or like you. No, you start to say, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not what I used to be, but I haven't arrived yet either. This starts to bring a maturity phase in your life. You start pointing your finger. You start to say, Lord, man, without you, I'd be lost. I need you, Jesus. I shared this with the first service, not to run down my family or anything, but just for illustration. My family has been steeped in alcoholism every generation. When my family gets together for family reunions, they can pound them down. They're professional at it. They can hold quality, top-level jobs, but still drink like fish. When I cycle got broken, I desire to drink on any level. I don't. The only reason is because Christ in me, not that I'm any different than my family. So I've learned this. When I have family reunions, if you want to pound them down, I can still talk to you. I can still sit at the table and not be tempted by it. But I'm hoping that my light shines. Because if it wasn't for Christ, I'd be doing this same exact thing. Now, I'm not trying to pick on one vice worse than another. That isn't my heart here. My heart is I'm going to pray for my family. They need what I have, Christ Jesus. It's our only hope. But if my family does not come the way of the cross, it's like dirt in the pan. Sooner or later, this becomes useless. It's not even fit for the master's use. Aren't we supposed to be fit for his use? Aren't we supposed to bear fruit? We are. There should be enough in our life to take care of our family and give some away. I've learned this, if you have good soil. Now, if you go on the west, southwest side of the state, if you've ever gone there when the season, before they plant all the crops, there is some black dirt on that side of the state that's unbelievable. It's so rich that when you look at the fields, it's like, man, I've never seen that. That's in our state alone. I want you to know that when it comes time for harvest time, many times those fields are producing more than sand fields are. I mean, as a good soil will produce, everything you ever wanted is in that area. Will you stay in the process? It's not easy, but staying in the process produces. God will work it out in everyone's life in here. No matter what we've done, no matter how many failures we've had, no matter where we've came from, it doesn't even matter your background, God will change you. His ways are the same for everybody. It's Christ and Him crucified. It's the washing of the Word and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Nobody comes by another way. Nobody's going to get to heaven and go, you know what? I'm here because I'm all that. Jesus said, your righteousness is filthiness to me. We need the righteousness of Christ, which is in Jesus. But if you stay in the process, guess what? I've dealt with that chunk in my life. You know what? I'm getting victory on that chunk in my life. You know what? Gosh, Lord, thank you for dealing with that. Lord, I didn't even know that was in me. Thank you for pointing that one out. Oh, Lord, you're doing a rapid rate. How many of those, there's more coming out? You know what? It also helps me see my own life the way I should be. I've been clouded with the rest of it. I've been comfortable with the mess. And now He wants to separate it. Amen? And when He separates it, He removes it. How far are your sins removed from you in Christ? From the east? Have you found out how far the east is from the west yet? Or when God said, let there be, is it continuing to expand even now today? I don't know if He put an end on it. Go X amount of miles and stop. I believe when He said, let there be, it still is. Every time we find a bigger telescope or send another one, they find a new constellation. Hello? You want to blow you away? He names every star by name. That's the God you serve. If you think heaven's going to be this place where you're just going to all of a sudden exhaust it all, like, well, what are we going to do now? Okay, everybody take 16 steps this way, and we'll just stand here for a while. Well, this is fun. Tomorrow we're going 20 that way. Okay, tomorrow 20. No, every day is going to be new. Every day is going to have a fresh revelation. Every day with your God, you're going to see something new. And I want to learn everybody's name in heaven. Since I have a forever, that's one of my goals. Lord, give me that expanse. Wouldn't you like to know everybody's name? I just want to say, hey, no, I'm going to get it right. I want to know. How many want to go through the process? In Isaiah 1 verse 25, I will turn, it says, my hand upon you. I will purge away your dross and take away your sins. In Hosea 6 verses 1 and 2, come, return to the Lord. He has torn and He will heal. He has smitten, He'll bind up. After 2 days, He'll revive us. The third day, He'll raise us up that we can live in His sight. When I look at this process of change, I want to be fit for the master's use. Good soil. Good soil. Now, sometimes God can pour a little rapid grow. How many ever seen rapid grow or instant grow? Or anybody ever seen that stuff? My neighbor used to be the biggest fan of that. He had this giant bottle of it. And he was the tomato king master, as I shared with some of you. But one day I looked and he had this attachment hooked to his hose. And it said Instant Grow or one of those names. And man, he was hosing down his stuff and the water looked blue to me. I'm not sure, but it looked blue to me. And I said, hey man, what are you doing? He goes, hey, I'm watering my crops. And daily he'd be working on these things. Daily. I never seen so big a tomato plants in all my life. And then when they started to come in, they were more than he could handle. I'd find them on my doorstep. He'd ask me every time, he'd say, need some tomatoes? I got some tomatoes. He goes, I got so many, I don't even know who to give them to. I got so many people even sick of me bringing them over. How many want to be so fruitful that it's just like you got to give away? And you're giving away so much love, everybody's sick of it. If you go to that church, they love too much. That's the only reason I don't want somebody to come here. It's because you love too much. Amen? How many knows the world needs some joy? You got it. They need some love. You got it. You got enough for you, your family, and enough to give away. Good soil was the ingredient that you need to get it going. You can't produce it on the asphalt. You may get a little grow in the crack, but when the sun comes out, it's going to bake that. A bird's going to pluck that out. Christians should not be able to be removed so quickly. Neither should your love or your life. To me, I have a real caution today that when the storms really start blowing, how many are going to be able to stand? We need to be strong in our God. Amen? When 9/11 hit, the church attendance across the board had a slight uptick. But it's amazing to me how that's just a memory now. It's just a program you can watch. I never want to be so callous that things don't bother me. Amen? When we look at things in mankind, we need to care. We need to be concerned. You have a card that was in your bulletin. I'll be honest with you. I want you to fill that out. I want to pray for your families. We're in the finals. Time is short. But I can go to heaven with chunks or pure soil. What do you want to do? I want to change. How many here have some areas that you know you need to see the Lord change? Let me see your hand. How many some areas that the Lord you know is putting his finger on, say, look, here's an area I need you to work on? How many knows it's not a mystery? How many here have struggled with something more than once? How many want to get victory in that area? Sometimes we can get it right and we're not saying it, but how many know sometimes we can still think it? I don't even want to think it. I want to be changed. When Jesus was reviled on, notice that he didn't blast. If there's anyone who could have blasted people out of the water, it was him. Could you imagine God articulating something to you evil? He could tear you. But he never rendered evil for evil. When they cursed him, he I'll pray for you. God, I want that character. Even on the cross, when everyone forsakes him, he said, Father, forgive them. That's character. Jesus went through the process and came forth as gold. So will you. If you stay in the process, like how you come out at the end of your life, he'll receive you up into glory. How many want to be in the process? Then it's going to require. You'll never know those areas, but the Lord does. To take you out, but God says, I'm there for good for you, and he'll work it out. Amen. Enjoy this morning. Amen. How many of us we need to change? I want to change. I don't want to stay the same. Then I got to be in the process. Your change and my change, we may have different struggles, but the refining is still the same. You got to go God's way. His word. I shared this with the first service. I don't believe that we need to manage flesh, because you can manage flesh a lot of ways. I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this. That doesn't mean it changes inside. You may just be saying no to that. But I want you to have a week unplugged. I know some of you use your phone for work. I understand that. But have a week where if you spend a bunch of time watching TV, you spend that time in the Word. If you spend a lot of time just doing this fleshly thing, no, I'm going to spend time in prayer. Will somebody give a week to the Lord? Anybody? And use that time to grow in the grace. I'm just not saying no to stuff. Lord, I want to spend, if you spent the amount of time that you did on other things in the Word, would it be different? Yes or no? Then I challenge you that way. If you make a commitment to the Lord, see it through. Just like when I fast, I don't like to fast, but I have to fast. When I fast, food, I can smell it a mile away. I can smell every barbecue in the neighborhood. It's like, how many ever fasted and you're going to do it to a certain time and you kind of watch the clock tick? And as soon as it hits, I'm going to eat it this time. Oh, you're all perfect in here. I mean, you accomplished it, but listen to me, you're always thinking. Then have a week where it's unplugged. Use your phone for jobs. I understand that. But a week unplugged. I'm going to spend it with God. And then see what happens that week. See if there's more character being produced. See if more heightened attacks you'll see. You'll be able to recognize that. Get you off your game. And I'll get the glory. And come back filled, ready to go. Amen? I know a lot of people are gone. We need to pray that there's quite a few sicknesses right now. I mean, we need to pray for that. I know many families that are ill right now. You want to change? I want to change. How many want to change? Glory to glory. Father, here we are. Lord, we ask you to work in us, that your sifting process is true, that it will be tried by fire. But Lord, you always do it for our good, like a parent who cares for their children. Lord, we know Satan desired to sift him and take him out. But you spoke a word that his faith would be there. That he would be spared and he would strengthen his brethren. Lord, we're no different. That Lord, if we're tried, hallelujah, we'll come forth as gold. Lord, work on our character, Lord God. The lumps, as it were, the sins, Lord, remove them. And take us from vessel to vessel, glory to glory. Lord, we speak over the families, Lord, that are struggling with health. We speak healing upon. We come against every sickness and disease in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, for your people here, Lord, they've desired to be more like you. So God, grant that. Work in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now close with this statement. Don't think it's strange if a fiery trial comes your way. But endure, God will see you through. Hallelujah.